The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
In Australia in 2020, surely we've got workplace equality in regards to genders, right? Absolute lol. You would think that women and men doing the same job are given the same opportunities to climb the corporate ladder and get access to higher paying roles. Again, there's a bit of a lull. Well, the Workplace Gender Equality Agency's annual scorecard suggests that's not the case, and the difference in pay remains above 20%. CEOs for Gender Equality, Tanya Ciccone, joins me now. Tanya, thank you so very much for your time.
Morning, Jenna. Thanks for having me.
Now, the results of this annual audit dropped early this morning and it's got some worrying stats. What are they?
Well, I suppose what you just talked about then is the persistent feature of the Australian workforce, which is the gender pay gap, where typically, even in female-dominated environments, the lower-paying roles are quarantined for women and the higher-paying roles are quarantined for men. And that's what directly is attributed to the gender pay gap in Australia.
In terms of why this is such an ongoing issue, and it seems to be hovering, as we mentioned before, the 20% mark, and I think it's as high as 23% here in WA, why is this continually happening? Is it because women are having children later in life, so they're going to have to take a break during their higher earning years, or what are some of the causes?
Look, in WA, the pay gap is 22.7%. Mm-hmm. And look, over the last 5 years, certainly it has been decreasing. Mm-hmm. But it's a good question, though, Jenna, because it's not just because we're having babies. Women have been having babies from, I don't know.
Some time now, about 5 years. Yeah.
But what has been happening as well is that over the last 30 years, women have been joining the workforce in huge numbers. Mm-hmm. We've been graduating in huge numbers. And we're asking our daughters to work in firms that our grandfathers built for their sons.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that women may not be able to climb that ladder as rapidly as men, because these organisations, and it's no criticism, have been built by men for men.
Yeah.
So the pay gap measures where women are within an organisation, and we're just simply at the bottom. So it's not just because we're having babies, but the conversations that I have with over 50 CEOs across Australia, not just in WA, is because they recognise there is systemic bias to women, you know, getting to those senior roles.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if we really want to rectify this, the best way we can do it is by appointing more women to senior roles.
Mm. Do you think, and to take it back from what we need to get more women in boardrooms, in C-suites, all around the country and the world, do you think that what we've seen specifically with COVID, and we've spoken to Education Minister Sue Ellery on the show a number of times, and she's really keen to encourage all young kids in WA to focus on STEM, which are traditionally industries that are male dominated and higher paying. Do you think this will eradicate over time, or do you think that this is something we need to start taking concentrated action on immediately?
Look, when we focus on school kids and what schoolgirls are choosing and what they're not choosing at school, and when we're talking about STEM only, what we're saying is here that women aren't making the right choices.
Yeah.
And I don't accept that at all. And in fact, we know that the research done by the same organisation that does the WGEA, does the WGEA analysis, the BCEC, Vanquis Curtin Economics Centre, when they did some research around women in STEM were found to still be paid less than their male counterparts.
Oh, for God's sake.
They were still leaving in droves because of the bro culture that exists within those STEM industries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to talk women out of STEM, not at all, but we need to recognise that those organisations have a commitment to addressing the internal culture and the systemic issues that don't attract and retain and promote women.
Yeah.
Because young women are going into these sectors and are being pushed out, and that's not fair. That's not fair.
No, so absolutely.
It's about the leaky pipeline. Quite often we think that STEM is going to solve the pipeline,
problems.
But it's a leaky pipeline.
Yeah.
As many women join it, many women also leave it.
Yeah.
So that's a real concern. And I say to my CEOs, well, until you can fix society, why don't you fix your own organisation? And it starts with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've seen so many good news stories come out of West Australian businesses such as Bankwest, who now have a chief risk officer that focuses on the LGBTQI plus community and their workers and the wider community there. So there are some really great stories to tell. How do you go when you go and work with organisations around the country, Tanya, to kind of change the narrative from this isn't an agenda or an equality issue, this is a productivity issue that we have to focus on?
Oh, that's such a good question, because what I do is I reframe this, Jenna, from this isn't just only the right thing to do, mm-hmm. but this is a way to tap into 50% of the talent that typically that have been overlooked yeah. over, like, say, the last, several 100 years or so. yeah. And also it's a potential market opportunity. Mm. Women influence 75 cents to 80 cents in every dollar. Mm. So, you know, it's a real market. So we've been wanting to tap into the Chinese market for a long time, other, you know, Asia-Pac countries for some time. The female market is a market in itself.
Yeah.
It's worth billions and billions of dollars.
Mm.
And car companies, global car brands are now looking to tap into the female dollar. You know, we influence where our children go to school, where our parents end up in aged care.
Yeah.
So we're a real force to be reckoned with.
Mm.
So a male or a homogenous, you know, group of male leaders can't solve for those market opportunities in a way that's creative, productive, and helps, and absolutely, you know, leverages, you know, that opportunity.
Mm.
So that's how I reframe it.
That's so great. And I know that you've worked with some great companies around Perth. We spoke to Peter Bennett from Clough yesterday, who was singing your praises and the fact that he's really keen to make some changes at that one fantastic company. What sort of response are you getting? And what are the first things, for, like the first steps that big companies can take to pivot towards a better, brighter, more productive future?
Oh, that's a really good question. Look, Peter, when I first met Peter, I've got to say, he was very committed to STEM, and as I know he still is. And he was very committed to fixing the pipeline. It's not until he met CEOs for Gender Equity and until he came to one of our CEO roundtables that he realised, oh my goodness, there's a lot more I can do about the culture of my business. So the first thing that leaders can do is to acknowledge that potentially there could well be an issue inside your business that isn't attractive to women. I say to men all the time, well, why would she come and work for you?
Yeah. It's a lot like dating. Clean up your act, gents.
Well, that's another story.
But I guess the fact that you're getting predominantly male CEOs to these roundtables is a positive sign.
Yeah, absolutely. We just need more. Because once they attend, and just even recently, Jimmy Wilson, head of CBH, held one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Tanya, I thought I could invite all my friends. I thought I could invite Edgar Basto from BHP, Graham Kerr from South 32.
Yep.
I said, what for, Jimmy? They're already on the journey.
Yeah.
I need you to invite other men that you think could gain from this conversation.
Yeah,
so we invited his suppliers, people in his supply chain.
That's great.
And they were fabulous men from the country who thought, why on earth are we here?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they shared the most amazing and powerful stories. Three of them want me to come back and talk to them.
Right.
So for them, they had a penny drop moment when they realised this isn't about being PC.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about, hijacking the agenda just to do the right thing.
Yeah.
This is about, well, in fact, I know when I do have women in my business, we perform better, the men behave better, we have different perspectives, different conversations, different thinking that normally we would never have had if it was just a group of men.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, CEOs for Gender Equality Director Tanya Ciccone, thank you so very much for speaking to us. We look forward to chatting to you again.
Thanks so much, Jenna. All the best.